This is Your Wetlands. Today we talk with Mark Holmes. Mark is the director of the Bay Institute's Restoration Program. He's also a member of the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture Management Board. Mark has an encyclopedic knowledge of the history of efforts to restore wetlands around the Bay, and on this report, he talks about how the scale of wetland restoration has changed since the inception of the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture. He talks about where the funding comes from to support this substantial work and why it's a good value for Bay Area residents.
Well, the joint venture has basically moved into this era of large-scale wetland restoration. Throughout the 1980s, for instance, there was only the occasional small-scale wetland restoration going on. And when I say small-scale, it could be as small as 25 acres. Until 1996, there wasn't anything bigger than 200 acres occurring in the Bay. Now, mind you, this is in the context of a goal for restoration of over 100,000 acres. And if you're doing this in increments of 25 acres to 200 acres, it's going to be a long time down the road before you really achieve the goal. But what happened, beginning essentially in 1992, when Cargill Salt Company terminated operations of their 10,000-acre North Bay Salt Pond Complex site, and then 2 years later sold it to the state of California, everything changed at that moment from small-scale restorations, planning on a small scale, some of them project-driven, a city here and there having a requirement to mitigate for a development that they did. With the purchase of Cargill's Salt Pond Complex in the North Bay, historically that was the entire Napa River estuary. That is, the Napa River came flowing out of Mount St. Helena, down through the city of Napa, and spilled out and met the Pacific Ocean at the Napa estuary. It's the largest sub-estuary within the San Francisco Bay estuary at that point. Well, that was all diked and drained and converted ultimately to salt ponds in the 1950s. And so in 1992, they sell it to the state of California. And so all of a sudden, the organizations that in 4 years going to be members of the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture are faced with restoring an entire major sub-ecosystem in the estuary for the first time, not just a small project. Because these restorations are so large, while they're not as expensive as building a development would be on the side, they're actually fairly costly to do. And so now we have the challenge of finding the funds to do the construction. That is just to get bulldozers out onto site to dig the channels, cut the breaches in the dike, and to haul in material. So now the challenge has been from the 1980s to protecting these sites from development. Now the challenge is to actually finding adequate funds for restoration. When we were doing 25-acre sites, you get a grant here and a grant there, and you've got the money to do it, even a 200-acre site. But a 10,000-acre site? Now we're short of money. The way that the joint venture partners used to do this, each partner independently pursued their own grants for their projects. The joint venture came along as an association of partners in this and would provide a little administrative support for helping find the funds. Now we can get all the grants in the world and it's still not enough money for this massive restoration. So we're having to seek additional funds while the partners continue to pursue those relatively modest grants out there. But in addition to that, we're looking at generating new funding sources. And there are two primary initiatives underway right now. They happened sequentially. And the first was to develop a state program called the San Francisco Bay Program that would allow the counties in the Bay Area to assess themselves to pay for tidal marsh restoration in their counties. And so an authority has been created. A new state agency just created 2 years ago now, called the San Francisco Bay Authority, specifically for the purpose of promoting restoration of wetlands in the Bay, and vested with the power of assessing local governments with a vote, upon voter approval, to finance these restorations. The second major initiative is at the federal level, and that is a bill that was introduced in Congress last year for the first time and has been reintroduced this year on the House side by Congresswoman Jackie Speier, on the Senate side by Senator Dianne Feinstein, that would create a program of multi-millions of dollars, literally hundreds of millions of dollars, to finance this restoration. This is a common federal program that exists in several other areas like Chesapeake Bay, Puget Sound, the Great Lakes. First program started in 1987 with Chesapeake Bay. The recognition that Congress describes in its legislation is that these projects are so important for the well-being of our nation, in addition to the region where they exist. And they reduce costs for what we would normally pay for in hardscape infrastructure and help improve pollution control, help improve flood protection, help improve water quality, that this is a sound investment of federal funds. So there is a bill pending in Congress right now to create that kind of program for San Francisco Bay. And actually, as compared to those that are funded in the rest of the nation, with 1 year of funding of what the Chesapeake Bay program got, we could finish most of our 100,000-acre restoration goal in San Francisco Bay. We could finance the entire thing. So it's really a relatively modest amount of money looking at the long haul, and we actually have high hopes that that will be enacted this coming year.
That's Mark Holmes from the Bay Institute and a joint venture management board member. In part two of our conversation with Mark, he goes into the details of large-scale wetland restoration projects in the Bay Area. I hope you'll check out that report as well. And thank you very much for listening. I'm Jerry Kaye.